bounces in for the touchdown.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on fourth down and one.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to Fourth and One, Week 2, regular season edition. I'm Todd Palmer, joined remotely by Nick Jacobs because we're all living in a strange world right now.
Technically, we're both remotely since we're not in the same spot.
Yeah, right. Like, I'm in my basement with all my garbage behind me. I'm going to clean up the space before maybe that'll be my weekend project before Sunday so that when we do the post-game fourth and one, it won't look quite so terrible.
Is that your garbage or is that your treasure?
Well, some of it is, like, if you look over my left shoulder, you will see a diaper box full of T-shirts I'd like to get made into a quilt at some point. If you look over my right shoulder, most of that's just stuff that's, like, on eBay or something, and I just haven't found a place to store it in my new house.
So you bought stuff on eBay that you're not using?
No, it's stuff I'm selling on eBay.
Okay.
Yeah, stuff I'm selling on eBay, sorry.
I was going to be like, thank God you have a place where you can store all the stuff you bought off eBay.
I have two kids, man. I'm always broke. I gotta hustle. Look, man, Chiefs, I know they talked about how they weren't happy with the fourth quarter performance against the Texans, especially the defense giving up a couple late touchdowns. But all in all, with no preseason, I thought the Chiefs played really, really well in their opener. A very impressive win, in my opinion, against a Texans team that I think is going to struggle. I'm not sure that Texas team is a playoff team this year, but, you know, with that seventh team, who knows? This Chargers team, though, I'm pretty sure they're not a playoff team. Nick, just take me through. I mean, they won in Cincinnati, but it was not an impressive performance. I'll just put it that way. What were your impressions of the Chargers' season opening win?
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree with you because, I mean, looking at Joe Burrow, for starters, I mean, if they'd had preseason games, there was a couple plays he would have connected on. There was five touchdowns that, like, if he connects on those passes, they're all touchdowns. And two of them were on the same drive, but overall, I think there was three, and it would have really separated them from it. And then, like, Steve Spagnuolo said in his press conference, when you watch the second half of the game, the Chargers were like, you know, we're going to just run the ball, and we're going to run cutbacks with Kelly because that's the only thing he knows how to do. And then that was just kind of how they situated that overall.
Well, some of that, I think, is because, I mean, Tyrod Taylor is not a guy who's going to beat you deep down the field. He's a very good athlete, and the Chiefs are going to have to be careful with him on those option plays, on the RPOs. I mean, he's a guy who can run and make things happen with his legs. But, you know, he hit one or two throws down the field, but his accuracy down the field was not something that would scare me if I was the Chiefs. So, I mean, I think this is a fairly one-dimensional offense that they're going to face. You know, it's going to be underneath stuff and the running game. Do you think they have enough firepower to keep pace with the Chiefs in this one? It, you know, as long as there's no major injuries or no ridiculous turnovers.
I mean, if they play like they did last week, then no, they shouldn't. The Chiefs should easily beat them by 21 points. And I know this sounds weird to say, but I mean, with what I saw on tape, they just, Anthony Lynch trying to run his Buffalo Bills offense when he was the OC there that got him the head coaching job with the Chargers, and Tyrod Taylor was his quarterback. Yeah. And that was fine because at the time, like, the read option, all that stuff, I mean, you hadn't seen it on a weekly basis with almost every quarterback in the league, or at least half the quarterbacks in the league. So defenses, it wasn't like seeing a play action boot. You know, you're like, oh, we've seen that 5 years now. We're fine with that. Yeah. Except the Chiefs acted like it was new every year whenever they were playing the Broncos during Mike Shanahan. You know, that's one of the times where it didn't work out. But, I mean, overall, it's just Anthony Lynch trying to run the offense, and that's fine, but Tyrod Taylor is—he's a very particular quarterback in how he sets up, and how he has to play action, and where he has to have his back foot hit on his drop. And then if you disrupt any of that, things go to heck in a handbasket. Then you don't know where the football's going. Sometimes maybe 5 yards over receiver's head, maybe a little wide, maybe this, maybe that. He's not going to be confused with Lamar Jackson in terms of the ability between both in some regard, but he's definitely not being confused with Deshaun Watson. So I think the Chiefs are getting good buildups to Lamar Jackson before that week three game. But yeah, I mean, Chargers offensively, I mean, they want to be a power run team, and that's fine, and they want to do play action pass and a little bit of read option off that and everything, and that's completely – that's okay. It's just that's not what's going to beat the Chiefs overall.
No, and that's – as I was watching the game, I was thinking to myself the Chargers-Bengal game, that is. This team is not capable of lining up and sustaining a series of – they're not going to have four – long drives against the Chiefs where they, you know, they come away with points, you know, so I think this game, it sounds odd, but I mean, the Chiefs, you know, the way they played last week with, you know, cause the Texans were playing deep and kind of forced them to play underneath, and Patrick Mahomes was perfectly willing to do that. This is almost a field position game in some ways, I think, for the Chiefs. I mean, as long as you don't do things to lose the field position game, give up big returns off punts or off kickoffs, have turnovers in your own end, things like that. I just don't think the Chargers are capable of sustaining drives the way they need to keep pace in this one.
I think not having Derwin James and Pouncey out there is going to be big problems for the Chargers overall. And even though they won't want to admit it, not having Phillip Rivers either, that's gonna show a great deal in terms of their limitations of the passing offense.
Yeah, you mentioned Pouncey being out, and look, Dan Feeney shifted from left guard to center. He played most of the game there, and Forrest Lamp moves in at left guard. I actually thought those guys played okay in the Bengals game, but it limits the athleticism they have on the interior of that line, and I think it makes them it's clear that there wasn't a lot of continuity with that offensive line, especially in pass protection, against a Bengals team that, frankly, I don't think is nearly as good in the pass rush as the Chiefs are going to be this weekend. So I it's hard for me to see that line holding up. It's hard for me to see Austin Ekeler having a lot of room to run on the interior. I do want to know, though, with Colin Saunders out and with Tershawn Wharton as the only backup defensive tackle right now, how do you see the Chiefs adjusting that interior defensive rotation to make sure that Chris Jones and guys, and Derek Nnadi don't get worn down as this game goes along?
Yeah, I think, like you said, with Wharton, I mean, from watching his tape, I mean, that's a very strong man. That is a guy that can move some people with his power and his size to where he can hold his own against double teams. And I personally wasn't expecting that until I got to watch a coach's film. And I'm like, oh, wow, they got a serious rotational player that's going to cause some damage here. The guy I think they're probably going to end up having to bring up is going to be Braxton Hoyt. They're going to have to figure something out with that. And I'm kind of wondering if maybe that's where Colin Saunders, if they kind of move him to IR with the elbow issue on the friendly fire play on the screen where he got his arm smacked by Mike Dana when they're both trying to make the tackle. But yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't bring Braxton Hoyt up, because for them to protect him this week when I don't know if they necessarily needed to, kind of told me that we're definitely going to make sure we have him for the week in case there's an injury, but we want to have that option if we need to move him up. So that wouldn't surprise me. And then Mike Pinnell, if I remember correctly, he's going to be back after this game. So from a rotational perspective, if he can get through this week without any injuries, having Chris Jones, Nnadi, Pinnell, and Wharton, that's going to be a really good four combination at D tackle, especially against run defense.
Yeah. All right, hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Chargers defense and some of the ways that they can give the Chiefs offense some fits this week out there at SoFi Stadium. We'll be right back here on 4th and 1.
So much talk about the new normal. At 41 Action News Today, we want to make sure you are ready with everything you need to know to get your day going. Wake up with 41 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, we talked about, look, this should be a 2-0 start for the Chiefs. And this should be a 10th win in the last 11 games against the Chargers. But I think that the one thing that gives me a little bit of pause is that this Chargers team has some very good pass rushers. They've got some nice defensive pieces, and the Chiefs are the Chiefs. I still think the Chiefs are going to put up points. They historically have. Andy Reid seems to own this matchup, but you know, I mean, I always worry when you know when you have a good pass rush. You know, we saw Patrick Mahomes, you know, injure his ankle a couple times early last season. And is there anything about this team other than Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram that really scares you?
No, it's definitely the edge rushers that cause me concern when I'm going to be watching the game and on each drop back. I mean, that's really where their strength is overall. Linebackers, I mean, they're semi-athletic and they fit the scheme and the drops that they want coverage-wise, and secondary is pretty good, but it's Bosa and Ingram are kind of what makes that football team and that defense go, and that cover three concept that they run. So, yeah, no, like you're saying, with the pass rush, the biggest thing you're going to have to do with it, there's two things you do with the pass rush. And I know you had alluded to it when you and I talked. You either do the hurry up like the Chiefs did to the 49ers in the fourth quarter of the game, especially against that cover three where you rely on those front four to get you pressure, or you run right at them with two tight end sets and you just wear down the rushers to where they're tired, and they're tired because the thing is they don't have pass rushers behind Ingram and Bosa that can do the same equivalent. There's a significant drop off, just like there was for the 49ers in the Super Bowl. So it's, and I mean, they've got some interior players with Tillery, and then I believe Joseph is the other defensive tackle. Yeah, Joseph. So, I mean, and Justin Jones, too, is another one. But those guys, they're more kind of holding the wall in place in the run versus being somebody that can get in the backfield. So if you wear down the edge rushers, the defensive tackles are definitely going to be worn down because they're built differently. And then all that combined, I mean, they're going to be huffing and puffing by third quarter and fourth quarter. They may be gassed, depending on how you scheme it.
Well, you can see, look, they against the Bengals, the Chargers left the middle of the field open a lot, and there were a lot of times. Yeah, I was really impressed with Jerry Tillery, the first round pick from last year, with his development as a pass rusher. I thought when they bounced him out to the edge, he made some nice plays and did a good job getting some pressure, collapsing the pocket. But my goodness, the Bengals, when they double-teamed him, just blew him 3-4 yards off the ball. I mean, I think that they're vulnerable on the interior. So it'll be interesting to see how the Chiefs approach that. But the other thing, and you mentioned it, look, Joe Burrow played a lot of hurry-up. He played a high tempo at LSU, so maybe that's just his comfort zone. But the times in the game when the Bengals went up-tempo, Joe Burrow looked like he was shredding him apart. And were it not for this ridiculous shovel pass that he threw right into the belly of Melvin Ingram, and were it not for Randy Bullock, like, cramping or brain farting, whatever it was at the end of that game, I really think the Bengals should have beaten the Chargers last week. And like, you know, like we talked about before this started, it came down to tempo. So I'll be curious to see if the Chiefs have a little trouble getting untracked, if they want to kind of do what they did last week, establish the run, really impose their will, you know, control the clock, things like that. If they have trouble getting things going a little bit, I'll be interested to see if they go to that up tempo and, you know, and you see a little bit more of that Chiefs style. And I think that's going to be all season. I think the Chiefs are going to have that versatility, like we talked about with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And what solutions, if any, especially with Drew Tranquil being down, that's a big loss in their linebacking core. What solutions do you think they have for Edwards-Helaire this week?
The only thing that I think overall that the Chargers really have available to them is that pass rush just constantly going and to keep everything in front of them with that cover three scheme. I mean, Mahomes, he's had to be more efficient against that cover three scheme that they run. And I think that's where the 49ers got a handful of what they did in the Super Bowl by watching what Gus Bradley had installed in those four games against the Chiefs to be able to pick and choose what he wanted from that. But I don't know. I think for the Chiefs, if you run some of the two tight end sets and you run right at them, I don't see this offensive line having issues with moving the ball. and then getting things going however you see fit after that, if you can get them to get out of some of those zones. And then the other thing is the way Andy does against them, the way he floods some of those zones and their zone coverages, given how many times he's played that scheme and that concept, the guy knows how to isolate some of those zones and manipulate them certain ways. Because if you remember the Jaguars game, there's a reason Sammy Watkins had a career day against it. It's, you know, it's that type of scheme. And so you'll see it again when the Chiefs play the Falcons later on this year, whenever they play Dan Quinn. I mean, the cover three scheme, they see enough times with the Seahawks, with the 49ers, the Chargers. It's just, I think the Chiefs know how you have to attack those concepts and how you use the motion to manipulate all that stuff. I think Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and Mahomes have seen it enough to where they know where and when to attack and what looks to get to get the isolations that they want.
And, you know, last week, the Chargers played a lot of single high. You know, they were kind of daring Joe Burrow to beat him over the top. And obviously Burrow wasn't able to get that done. There were chances. He just wasn't able to connect on him. I will eat my freaking shoe if they play as much single high against Patrick Mahomes this week, because Patrick Mahomes will carve them up. I mean, as much, Hayward got eaten alive on slants against the Bengals, and Tyreek Hill would have had four touchdowns against the coverage that the Bengals were playing last week. So do you think that they will adjust as much as Houston did, though? Because Houston played two safeties, played them pretty deep, and pretty much said, "Hey, you know, if you want a 14 play drive to try to beat us, we'll let you do it." And the Chiefs said, "Fine, we'll just do that." Do you think the Chargers are going to make that gamble, or do you think they're going to try to pack the box like they typically do, and dare Patrick Mahomes to beat him deep?
I think the Chargers are going to play what they're comfortable with early on, and I think they're going to try to get in Patrick Mahomes' head a handful of times and try to see if they can rush him a little bit on what they're after in terms of getting his decisiveness up, like the Texans tried to do early on there, and where Patrick kind of missed a couple of those reads because he wanted to get the ball out at a certain time. So I think they're going to try that first and see if that gets them where they want to go. And then if it doesn't, then I think they're going to have to try to draw up some other ways to try to attack him. But I think they're going to try to go with what worked in the past 3 to 4 times and then have some little wrinkles here and there that they hope can connect against him.
All right. I will say this. Joey Bosa had a great game against the Bengals. He does not have the advantage of going against Bobby Hart this week at tackle. Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz there at right tackle, significantly better players than what the Bengals trotted out there as their bookends last week. So good luck. Good luck, Mr. Bosa.
I'm sure he's listening right now and he's saying thank you very much.
So. That's right. That's right. All right. Hey, we'll be back to talk a little bit about the Chiefs defense in the C block here on 4th and 1.
It's a moment that feels like it happened ages ago, right? Months later, times are testing the core of who we are. Now more than ever, you deserve the whole story without the hype. And those moments that remind you that good is stronger than ever. Kansas City, this is our time. This is your team. 41 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs for the C Block. Nick, got to talk some Chiefs defense. First of all, are you buying what they were selling about, like, being really disappointed with the performance last week? Because I thought, all in all, missing a starting cornerback in Bashaud Breeland, who's suspended for another 3 games, and having no preseason to lean on, I thought the Chiefs picked up about where I thought they would from last year. If anything, the first 3 quarters, I thought they were better. If you had told me they were going to limit the Texans to 20 points, I'd have taken that. So are you buying that this defense didn't play well last week?
I'm buying that I think they believe they didn't play well. I buy that one, definitely. Yeah, no, I think Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark and Steve Spagnuolo the reason that they got to the Super Bowl last year is they were never satisfied. And the fact that they're already saying they're not satisfied now is a phenomenal sign, given that you and I were like, you know, the bar was really low last year. They hurdled that one, and the bar's there, and they're already above it, but they don't want to be there. They want to be number one in the league. So the fact that they aren't satisfied, I mean, that's encouraging overall and collectively to where they I mean, when you get the leaders that are sending that type of message, they're setting a tempo for the entire year. And I know you said that the corner's gone. I don't think they care. They could have half their starters gone. I think Steve Spagnuolo is like, why did you not fight through that reach block on 4th and 1? We're up by 42. Why did you not do that? So I just think that's a mentality that they've instilled. And I think they want to instill to the younger guys and kind of get them in that mindset to where each week is they're treating it like a playoff.
I think that – We've talked about this before. We talked about this a lot last year. This is where the culture, the work ethic that Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu brought to this team makes the biggest difference, I think. And look, the Chiefs, the last, what, 6-7 weeks of last season were one of the best defenses in the league. I think they were the best defense in terms of points per game down the stretch last season. You know, and if that's the mission this year, just, you know, book another trip to Florida in February because I think that's going to happen. What about Tyrod Taylor's game worries you this week? Because we talked about, he's a very athletic guy and he does have, look, he's got lots of weapons. I mean, Keenan Allen is still a very good playmaker, you know, on underneath and intermediate routes. You know, coming off those pick routes and things like that. Mike Williams, very good deep guy. Hunter Henry, you know, one of the better pass-catching tight ends in the league. You've got Eckler. You've got Josh Kelly, who he's a rookie. He's limited in some of the things that he can do. But, you know, he brings a little bit of a change of pace and can be a weapon in there. So this is a team that has capable playmakers. But do they have the quarterback to take advantage of that talent?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, with Tyrod Taylor, I'm not as concerned about him as I would be with Deshaun Watson or with Lamar Jackson, because he's got a lot of inaccuracy. And like I said, if you get him out of whack in some of his fundamentals, it sets off his game. And so when you have a quarterback that gets their game set off so easily, you just have to do a couple things here and there to set the tempo early. And then it's just kind of ball game at that point versus somebody like Patrick Mahomes. So you can do all kinds of things to him for three quarters. And then the fourth quarter, when it's crunch time, he scores 21, you know, that's just what Patrick does. So, and he can also rent a car without any issues now. So, I mean, congrats to him.
Right,
it's a big
right.
day. I wonder if you celebrate his birthday by going to rent a car, because that's what I would have done.
Yeah, no, rent a car and call his insurance agent to get a reduced rate on his automotive policy. I bet
Jake from State Farm definitely took care of that for him.
Yeah, gave him the Mahomes rate. Yeah. And then after that, he called the Iowa High School State Activities Association or whatever and told them to let Arlen Bruce play up there at Ankeny, Iowa. So, look, he was busy. He did a lot of things after practice to celebrate his birthday yesterday. So congratulations.
Really
congratulations on Patrick to making it around the sun one more time.
I think we're all happy about that one.
Yeah. Keep it up.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. Okay, if you're Steve Spagnuolo, you're looking at this Chargers offense, who's the guy you've got to take away? Because for me, look, Austin Eckler is, you know, I mean, obviously the running back with what they want to try to do. But for me, the key guy is always Keenan Allen. He's killed the Chiefs before. He's also been injured in a lot of games against the Chiefs before. But he's still the engine that kind of drives that bus. If you let Keenan Allen go off and you have trouble – containing him, then Mike Williams becomes a bigger problem, Hunter Henry becomes a bigger problem, and Austin Eckler becomes a ridiculous nightmare to deal with as well. Is there one guy you focus on?
Yeah, Tyrod Taylor. I think he's the guy that makes that engine go, and that engine's it hasn't had a tune-up in a while, so that's a guy that I'm telling you, man. Once that back foot hits, if they disrupt it, like, it doesn't matter. Like, you know, if they have Timmy Timmerson or Jerry Rice out on the field, it doesn't matter. It's just they're going to have some struggles that it's just that offense isn't going to hum the way it needs to. Then they have to lean on their run game and say, hey, Kelly, run some cutbacks. Okay, thank you. So, no, I mean, I agree with you. Keenan Allen would be a threat, and with Rivers, he definitely would be. Just with Tyrod Taylor, he's the guy you disrupt, and I feel like that offense crumbles when that happens.
I know looking at Jacob's eye in the sky on Twitter this week, you can find that at Jacob71 every week on Twitter. The Chiefs linebackers still, Damian Wilson, guys like that, still have trouble being disciplined. It's an ongoing issue. How big a concern is that? Because Eckler and Kelly can be a problem in space if you let them get out there and roam free. They're maybe not quite to Clyde Edwards-Helaire's level, but they can make plays. They're NFL caliber running backs.
Yeah, Eckler's going to be a problem with that. That's you just created a new concern I hadn't thought about. So thank you. I just took an hour and a half off my sleep. I'm going to worry about something I have no control over now.
So sorry.
Thank you for that. I know. Paranoia equals prepared. So you just made me more paranoid. Thanks.
All right. There you go. All right. Prediction time real quick. Prediction time. Let's go. What you got for me?
All right. Fine. I'll put the Chiefs at 45 and the Chargers at 17.
45? Oh, wow.
But Andy, the home field advantage is not going to be a problem.
It did sell the Miz for the Chargers since they moved to L.A. By the way, I will never forgive them. I'm Team San Diego for life. I'm going to go ahead and say
you wear your San Diego shirt right now.
Yeah, no, I thought about it when I sat down. I was like, oh, thank God they moved to L.A. I'm going to go ahead and say 25-0 in honor of Patrick Mahomes' 25th birthday.
I'm going to be honest. There'll be a lot of upset fans about that if they only scored 25 in the game.
It'll be fun, though. So, anyway, guys, thanks for listening, and enjoy the Chiefs game on Sunday. We will talk to you after that. Take care, kids.
All right. Time's yours.